Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're gonna play on and stand strong. With Drolo and Dibs, turn the game on. Pump up the volume, it's time to play ball. With Drolo and Dibs, turn the game on.
All right, we got a good old-fashioned panic show for you today.
Iguodala to throw it in. Far hash mark. Andre holds. Here comes the play. Curry fades the corner. Durant catches up top. Deep three straight on. It's up. It's no good. Tipped out by Draymond. Over to Curry. Pump fake. Takes a three. No good. Rebound Paul. He is fouled with 2.9 to go.
They had good looks, Tim.
Kevin Durant had a great look up top.
Great looks, but that game was lost well before that moment last night as the Houston Rockets defeat the Golden State Warriors 112-108 in Game 4 of the Western Conference semifinals. This series is now knotted at 2. Game 5 Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. in Oakland. We'll have all the action right here on 95.7 The Game. And at 7:30 this morning, we are giving away tickets to that game. Lock it in right here, 7:30 this morning, your chance to win tickets to Game 5. Gentlemen, no time for pleasantries. I don't even think any of us really talked to each other during the pre-show prep.
Not a word.
We know the gravity of the situation. We know what we're faced with today. So we'll start right with this. Panic level, 0 to 10, 10 being so panicked, the series is over, the dynasty is over, 0 being not the least bit concerned. Where are you at after last night?
I'm double where I was yesterday, and I think Lo and I both were about a 4, 3.5, 4. So I'm going to say I'm a solid 7 to 7.5. Just hearing you read or talk about that promo for tickets tonight at Game 5, it hit me. This could be the final game in the history of Oracle Arena, for God's sakes. And you wouldn't have even thought that 4 days ago, yet Houston handled its business at home, and they have all the, quote, momentum. I know we'll get into momentum throughout the program. Draymond talked about momentum, whether or not it carries over or not, but it's scary now after what's happened in those two games.
Where
I'm
at
a 7,
last
Joe.
Night. You're at a 7?
Yes.
That's a high number. That's a big jump from yesterday.
I think yesterday 3.5 or 4, and then just the way it went yesterday, the physicality, the dominance, the desire to win, it favors Houston right now.
Where are you at?
I'm not much off yesterday, a 5. This is, you know, you look at this series and you think, okay, they held it. They won their 2 at home. The Warriors won their 2 at home. Now you're in a situation, you're number one seed. Now my panic goes up. If you lose this game, Now I come over to you and we'll get in the same church. But right now, we're not in the same church, nor are we on the same pew.
Same religion, though, I think.
Definitely.
You know, some concern.
Definitely.
Concernism, I believe, would be the religion.
There's about 1.3 billion people who practice Christianity, so you two probably aren't alone in your concern. Just throwing that out there. I don't think you're in an obscure religion now. You seem to be in a popular religion.
Absolutely.
But that's where you're at. Not really much concern after last night, even with Andre Iguodala hyperextending his knee.
No, you can't now go from, you can't just all say now it's a 10. You look at it, you say, okay, it's 2-2. The series just started. And if you had to say, okay, if the Warriors take care of their business, they get 2 games at home, they win their 2. If Houston wins at home, then the series is 7. If the Warriors try to turn the tides and try to steal one at home, then it's over. You know, that'd take it to 5. So you can't necessarily, I think you got to be concerned, but I don't think you've no reason to panic.
The logic, I think, follows right along with what you're saying, and you're right. And technically, the series hasn't started, Joe, as we know, until a road team actually wins a game.
That Boston-Milwaukee series last year. It went 7. The home team won every game. So it still hasn't started.
Let me know when that series from last year starts. Never existed, Joe. They just did the result. I think they simulated it in that situation.
It's kind of like Jordan Bell's stat line. He's listed at 0 minutes, but somehow he's -2. Shout out Jordan Bell. Hell of an effort last night. I did the math, Joe.
While we weren't talking this morning, all 3 of us or 4 of us, and actually was talking to Steven as they did a great hour, but he played 0.002% of that ball game. And was a -2. So I haven't yet extrapolated what that would be per 36 or per 48, but he probably would be like -17,000.
It's probably infinity. Like it's an infinite number. You can only find the number out in space. This bench is trash. Is it okay to say that? This bench is absolute trash. Outside of your starting five, is there a single guy who can come into this game for a couple minutes and not get so worked over, you're staring at your screen, screaming for them to be removed from the game? Looney comes in last night, immediately commits a turnover. Immediately commits a turnover. I think it was Steph who fed him beautifully under the basket. Wide open, immediately turns it over because he's not ready for it. Comes to the other end, gets roasted by Harden. That sequence took 20 seconds. He committed a turnover and got beat on the other end. Don't tell me you're tired. Don't tell me you're out of rhythm. No one's asking you to shoot 10 for 10 on the night. It's just minutes. You've got to go out there and give the team mediocre minutes. No one is asking Livingston or Cook, who can't get a single minute, which has got to tell you everything you need to know about him, or Jordan Bell or Kevon Looney or any of these other guys are being asked to do anything other than don't screw it up. And they cannot handle it. Every single bench player who gets involved in this game makes a mess of it. They're working hard. They're trying. But they are not meant for this stage. This is clearly like that moment you see when a young guy gets called up to make his major league debut and his first at-bat's coming against one of the league's premier pitchers, and the dude just works him. He has him on his heels, he brushes him back, he gets him too close, he's got him lunging, and before you know it, you're watching a 98-mile-an-hour fastball right down the middle, and the kid doesn't even take the bat off his shoulders because he's so twisted up. Deer in headlights, that's what this is. Deer in headlights. You cannot get a single minute out of any of these guys. We have not said a negative word about Sean Livingston throughout the entire course of the year because the show has a relationship with him and he's always been a great guy coming on. But Livingston is killing this team when he is on the court. He has nothing offensively, nothing defensively. They're just bad minutes. They're just bad minutes. There isn't a single guy outside of the starting five that can help this team right now.
And that's the point, though, Joe, and to the point of Sean Livingston still playing, because it is clear that he's really struggling. A couple of bad defensive plays yesterday, too. There was one where I think it was Rivers who cut on the back cut right by him. He was standing flat-footed on defense. Plays that he normally would never make because of his basketball IQ, he's getting caught up. But you look at the bench, and you can't just go straight up Hampton's five for 48 minutes. That's not going to work. So you look at that bench and you think, well, Kevon, he can defend. Hopefully he will. And you look at Sean Livingston, who can score. Hopefully he will. But right now the bench is giving you more won't than will.
The Warriors are plus 22 in the first quarter of this series. They have won the first quarter in all four games, plus 22. In the third quarter, they're plus 5. In the fourth quarter, they're plus 8. And this is a 2-2 series because they are minus 29 in the second quarter. They are getting shredded in the second quarter. The moment you think about removing one of the five starters, which, by the way, Clay's not playing well, Steph isn't playing well, but regardless, it's still better than anything else that's coming off the bench. They get destroyed. And it's not as if Houston's keeping its starting five out there. Did anyone notice? Harden got hurt again last night and had to go to the locker room. These are big minutes where you have a tactical advantage and the Warriors are not seizing it. Whether it's time to panic or not, forget it. Forget it. You can just go right into the box score of last night. You can just focus on one game without anything else to look at, and you can say to yourself, this bench is not doing anything close to what it needs to do. And again, the expectations aren't high. Your literal expectations are, please do not get killed when you're out there, and that's all that happens. Text line, Chilton Autobody, 95795, telling me Alfonso McKinney played good. No, he didn't. The guy's nothing but air balls. He's nothing but air balls when he puts a shot up. I think he's made a three this entire series. If he can't shoot, fine, but you got to get back on D. And again, getting caught out of position on D repeatedly.
Yeah, I think that you say expectations is literally nothing, then that's a problem. Then you got to have set expectations. You got to set it up higher. And then you, as a coaching staff and as a coaching staff and as veteran players, you got to speak life. You got in tough situations when you, this is what you have. Superman ain't coming through the door. Boogie Cousins is not getting back out there and playing in this series. So as a team and as players, as coaches collectively, it's got to be, dude, you are all we have. You guys have to play better. And guys have to step up and they have to address it and look at themselves in the mirror and say, we have to play better collectively. And that starts with the bench. That starts with starters. That starts with a lot of guys. That starts with guys or starting off the game, a turnover by KD, two turnovers. Yeah, he played great. Yeah, I get that. But you got to have your superstars even play better. And you got to have your bench and your role players, like you said. If they're not going to knock down shots, then you got to do something defensively. When you look at guarding James Harden has he's the best that's probably ever played the game at the N1 in creating fouls in the three-point. There's no one in the game, just like Steph, one of the best three-point games the shooter's ever seen. James Harden is on another level when it comes to drawing fouls, whether he's fouling people, because he is fouling people. But you got to find a way to fix this problem. McKinney's got to play better. Livingston, like you said, he continues to struggle. But Kerr's got to, he's got to trust at some of those times and try and see what you brought in. You brought in a big guy, and you look at Andrew Bogut and say, what can Bogut do? Can Bogut be a lane guy to protect the rim? Don't let those rim runners and don't let those guys cut and roll to the basket, high pick and roll. Set and say, hey, certain things we got to do. I think you can't expect this Hampton Five. They only started 8 times in one season, and all of a sudden now you go to them for the full time and say that now these guys all of a sudden – supposed to play together and gel together. This has never, Steve Kerr in his tenure here has never relied this heavy on the Hampton Five.
The phone lines are open, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. A reminder, we've got tickets to give away to Game 5, which is tomorrow night at Oracle. Tip time, 7:30 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game. We are giving those away at 7:30 this morning. Back in a flash, Jolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game.
Warriors and the Rockets are all tied up.
It's game!
We're reacting to Game 4 all day today, including Warriors legend Rick Barry with Papa and Vonte at 2:30.
If the Warriors play their best game, the Warriors will win.
Only on 95.7. The Game. Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
4 games in and we are knotted at 2 apiece. Game 5 Wednesday night, 7:30 p.m. at Oracle. Warrior playoff coverage on 95.7 The Game, presented as always by our friends at Great Clips, proud partner of the Golden State Warriors. For those of you just joining us, good morning. It's great to have you with us today. We have Game 5 tickets to give away at 7:30 this morning. Lock it in, 7:30 this morning, Game 5 tickets to give away. Grand total score through 4 games. Warriors, 448. Rockets, 447.
Wow.
We honestly can be upset as we want today. You take a 2-0 lead. You fail to grab one in Houston. Sense of panic builds up a little bit. A little bit of concern, especially what we saw last night. In the Clipper series, those losses were blamed by and large to a Warrior team that got complacent and didn't pay attention to detail. These two losses, the Rockets were the better team. That's what that was. You tried your hardest. You were focused. You were locked in. But you didn't play as well as the other team. And as a result, you lost. Happens in basketball. 1-point differential through 4 games. Game 5 wins in. At the very least, when we take a step back and look at this from the outside looking in, the series is living up to expectations.
Yes, and both teams were able to hold serve, as Lo was saying, at home, and ultimately the Rockets need to win those types of games. Games that are more physical, games where more contact is allowed on both sides, games where the pace is going to be much slower. You saw Draymond toward the end of the game in the fourth quarter lead them back by basically putting his head down and going to the rack. He got a couple layups. He was able to kick out a few.
Also blew the wide open layup
at
the end.
He did. That was tough. You know, when you're going full speed to the rack, and it was nice to see somebody showing that enthusiasm for the ball game late when they were down double digits. But that's the sort of tempo game the Warriors need, and that's the game they didn't get in Houston.
Yeah, and it's interesting because you see, you know, Draymond going hard and playing hard. It's like, then in a game, you can say, wow, God, what happened to layup? It's like, It's you know, you see things happen like that, sort of like the Rams at the end of the game when you saw the Rams and the Saints. You know that was a P.I. Everyone knows a P.I. That happens in the first quarter. Are we looking at it? Are we looking at it the same? Draymond had a turnover at the end of the game, you know, in the fourth quarter. KD starting the game had a turnover. That would have been bigger at the end of the game than it was at the beginning of the game. So in different spots, it always looks bigger, especially when it comes toward the end of the game. I thought this, like you alluded to, Joe, this series has been, it's been equal. It's been a heavyweight fight. You saw, you know, at the end of the game, game one, Steph hits that dagger three to end it. Had a chance last night to tie it, take it to overtime. They had a couple great looks and didn't make it happen. But for the most, this series has been really, really good. The better team, we know the better team is the Warriors. But like you talked about before this series started, you say, what happened when you play good enough and then the Rockets or other teams out there are just better, not better than you, but if you make mistakes, they can capitalize and beat you. And you've seen that in game two, a lack of effort on the board. You still had a chance to win the game. You get out rebound by 20. Had a chance to win that game, and that's the time, Joe, that you're talking about. Other teams, when they're just as good, if you allow them to capitalize on one situation, they'll end up beating you. And this is coming true, especially when you're talking about a Rocket team that has some athletes and has some Warriors as well.
Yesterday, we spent an entire show. Steiny and Guru did the same because I was listening to them. Spent an entire show trying to figure out what was wrong with Steph Curry. I don't think anything was solved last night, but we have to move off that conversation because we only have 4 hours. You know, it's like a therapy session. You pay for an hour, you get an hour. Right. There's no overtime. We got 4 hours today, and the focus here is going to be on what's wrong with Klay Thompson.
Mm.
He's been terrible. Absolutely terrible. He tried to shoot his way out of it last night and couldn't. He couldn't knock down anything. There were several moments in that game where him converting just a singular bucket would have been huge for the, quote, momentum we always talk about. Couldn't knock it down. Couldn't knock him down in the third. Couldn't knock him down in the fourth. Again, a lapse in judgment last night, launching into Harden, landing in his zone, knocking him down. Livingston did the same thing when he was on the court. Somehow that still hasn't registered. Just let him get the shot off. He's not shooting 90% from three. Let him get the shot off rather than jump into him and give him the easiest, most efficient baskets in the NBA, which are free throws. There's no one defending you. There's no clock moving. There's nothing easier than a free throw in the NBA. Instead of sending him to the line, let him get the shot off. How much of this is mental regarding the contract? He obviously has been hearing about this all year. He's no dummy. He knows that there's the conversation out there about the max deal versus whether or not Golden State will offer it, whether or not he's worth it. How much is he pressing based on money?
I don't think it's anything to do with money, quite frankly, because he understands that no matter what, he's going to be handsomely paid. I think it's more a case of straight up fatigue because he has to guard James Harden all over the floor. And also, by the way, Eric Gordon is playing increased minutes this year as opposed to last year, which means more strain on the backcourt as well. You throw in the fact that the Clippers series went six and they had limited rest. I think you're seeing a very fatigued Klay Thompson. Remember, he also had the ankle injury at the tail end of the Clippers series, which hampered him. He wasn't sure that we were going to have him for game one of the Warriors series against Houston. So I think that's a part of it. And also, you're seeing mentally the fact that he's in a slump, I think, is weighing on him more than the contract. And he carried it over to the defensive end last night. Like you said, crashing into James Harden. He got into foul trouble with a couple of reckless defensive plays. We're not used to seeing that from Klay, and that to me is the mental part.
Yeah, 3 minutes into that, going into the half before halftime, you have to sit Klay Thompson, you know, going into half. You got 3 minutes still left in the second quarter, and he can't play because he already has three fouls. So, yeah, just the rhythm and all those different things, and mentally, got to let it go. Anytime you're playing something, quarterback throws interception, a guy get a turnover, you got to let it go. You got to have thick skin, and that's what's so different about professional sports. It's different than so many different things. You know how many times you lose? How many times you might miss a block? Think about all the bad incomplete pass, the quarterback. Think about how many missed shots. But think about everyone's like, oh, my God, you got to be – no. You lose so many times in sports as a player, as an athlete, no matter what sport. Guy playing soccer, he's going for this winning goal. He gets it, the goal, he blocks it, stops it. Guy's dribbling the ball, gives it away. You lose so many times in sport because it's so fast and because you've been trained so long. You got to be able to let it go in those moments. And that's what great ones are able to do, step up. You can't go 1-for-6 at the three-point line, you know, for the three. You got to try to get that up. You're looking at Klay Thompson. You look at certain things, 5-for-15, you know, 5 out of 15 shots. Dude, just make 2 more shots. It's a different game. Make 3 more shots. And those are things that athletes, especially in professional, you have to realize you got to be able to let it go. And in those moments, you got to be able to relax and understand, hey, look, I know I've lost a lot, but I'm going to win in this moment. This time, I'm going to win. And that's what guys have to do.
Dave in Oakland. Dave, thanks for the phone call. Floor is yours. Fire away.
So I got two things on the reason why we're losing. And the first one is I agree with, I think it was Lowe that said it. When it comes to the defense and the backups and just being not, asked not to mess it up, these guys don't, I don't think they have the quick mental process. They're still thinking about what they have to do on D, and I don't think they're going to get it because you can't just give them more reps. They've had 50 million reps their whole lives. And then when you go to intensity, Draymond is the only player we have that's willing to bang. And what I mean by that is you look at Navarro Bowman on that goal line. He was willing to rip that fumble out of his arms, even if it was willing to take every inch of his knee to do it. And we don't have any guys, but I think if we keep Draymond, if we don't keep Draymond, we will be the softest team in the NBA and won't be able to handle this. But I think it's good that our backs are against the wall because now we might have some guys that are willing to fight for it. And that's just my take. Thanks, guys.
Dave, we appreciate the phone call. Thank you very much for weighing in. Plenty of calls throughout the show today, as we want to give you guys an opportunity to weigh in on what you saw and what you hope to see come Game 5 Wednesday night. All that brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
To give you an idea of just how awesome this series has been four games in, Kevin Durant is averaging 36 points for the series. James Harden is averaging 35.8 points per game for the series. It is the first time in NBA history that opponents in a playoff series are averaging 35 or more points per game through the first four. We've never seen it. Michael versus insert opponent here. Kobe versus insert opponent here. LeBron versus insert opponent here. We have never had a playoff series where the first four games of the series have featured opponents dueling each other to the tune of 35 or more points per game. To Houston we go. 95.7 The Game reporter John Dickinson with us here on 95.7 The Game. JD, a lot to get to. I want to start with this. Andre Iguodala, how bad is the left knee? He said after the game he hyperextended it. I heard from a lot of people who were there that he was limping really badly on his way out of the arena.
He was limping pretty significantly as he was wandering around post-game and walking out of the arena. That's something I did witness with my own eyes as well. I guess he told Slater that it was a hyperextension, and it's something of concern. And anytime Iguodala is a little bit banged up, it's a significant concern because he's shown that he isn't always ready to go when this Warriors team needs him. And case in point, last year's Western Conference Finals, where he missed the duration of that series. Is this as serious as that? I think it remains to be seen. Would you expect Iguodala to play through it? I think initially you would expect him to play through it, but he's somebody that if he's not at a certain level, I think he doesn't, where he can be effective, I think he's somebody that's, you know, been prone to say, I can't go from time to time. So I think we're going to have to keep an eye on that throughout the course of today and leading up to tomorrow. Obviously, he'll get a ton of treatment, but it's a big-time problem because we all saw how this series changed last year in the conference finals when Iguodala had to miss. That's when the Rockets really took control of things.
And it changed a little bit last night as Iguodala winds up as a minus 17, 7 points. He did have 8 rebounds, but his effectiveness appears to be more limited as the series goes on with all the minutes he's playing. Health aside, is there another way the Warriors can approach the minutes distribution, or is it ride and die with the Hamptons five?
I think it's ride and die with the Hamptons five, and a big reason why is I'm trying to figure out who else right now is playable for this Warriors team. Sean Livingston?
None of them, JD. The answer is none.
You're going to give Quinn Cook any minutes? No. Alphonso McKinney, he's back to not being able to knock down a shot. Even Kevon Looney is not as effective defensively as he's been at other points in this series and at other points against the Rockets. And oh, by the way, Jordan Bell showed everybody in 7 seconds why the hell Jordan Bell doesn't get off the schneid and get off the bench this season. For anybody that was wondering why, Jordan Bell hasn't been playing. He showed you in the 7 seconds where he gets beat for what was a pretty critical basket in a game where you lose by four.
So with that being said, JD, then why not Bogut? Would Bogut make that mistake? Is Bogut, even though maybe he's not as slight of feet as the Jordan Bell and the other guys, is his heart, is his mental attitude, is his fortitude there, is the championship pedigrees there? Do you play him? Do you say, no, I'm not still. You got to do something because these guys, the minutes that they're logging, Iguodala will get a little older. Yes, he's playing outstanding, but you saw it last night. From the three, one and four. So the legs are getting a little heavy. So what do you do if you're the Warriors and you're Steve Kerr? What can you do?
You got to play your guys and hope they're healthy and hope that they knock down shots and hope that they can defend and rebound at a higher level and that you can win the series. As far as Bogut goes, you could play Bogut, I think, against Capella, but you have to match him up specifically against Capella. The Rockets are going to get him, though, in a pick and roll and try and force switches and get Harden on him, get Chris Paul in front of him and attack him. The other thing the Rockets have done is they found a small ball lineup that works for them, whether it's Harden and Paul with Rivers and Tucker and Eric Gordon, or even Iman Shumpert has been somewhat of a found money type of a player in terms of his defense and physicality. If he knocks down a shot, that's a bonus at this point. He'll make a lot of dumb plays and take a lot of dumb shots offensively. But as far as rebounding and tenacity and physicality, he's right up there with some of the other wing players that the Rockets have. Big key to this series, I say it every time I'm on with you guys, who has the more trustable, playable players? And as this thing sits right now at 2-2, it's a coin flip, and it may be trending toward the Rockets having 6-7 guys that they trust, while the Warriors may be in 5.5-6 range right now, and that could wind up being the difference here over these last three games.
John Dickinson live from Houston joining Joe Low and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. I want to go back to the Iguodala injury for just a minute. I know you have a lot going on with the game. As soon as it ends, you're rushing down to the locker room. You got a million interviews. You're posting stories. You're doing hits. Did you have a chance to go back and review that play? Because some are saying very dirty on behalf of Chris Paul, coming in behind Iguodala, trying to kind of leg whip him a little bit there. Did you see it? Do you have any thoughts on it?
Yeah, I did go back and watch it, and it does look it does look like Chris Paul, and I'm bringing it up right now as we speak. It did look like Chris Paul kind of stuck his leg in there a little bit.
JD, that doesn't look like a guy going for a rebound.
No, it really doesn't, actually, because Iguodala's got position on him, and he just kind of gets in there.
Is it obvious,
legs.
JD? Is it obvious, or you would say, you think
it's an ish, honestly, Lo. It's dirty-ish, I would say. Would you put
it's
an ish
obvious.
On JD?
It's not obvious in real time to the naked eye. It's more, it looks worse when you slow it down and you run it back multiple times, as I've done here in the 30, 45 seconds we've been talking about it.
I appreciate you mailing in that portion of this interview.
Hey, no. Real-time analysis. We like it. Events occur in real time, like the show 24, JD. Very nicely done.
You're right, Joe.
Jack Bauer live from Houston.
I'd like to have that back, JD, that unmitigated assault. Does this speak to a greater issue in the series, though, of the Warriors needing to make a physical answer of some sort to not allow this dirty-ish play to exist?
Yeah, I think Draymond Green essentially called the Warriors team soft last night without saying those words specifically, speaking of their mindset and going into a fight thinking that it's going to be a fair fight when it's not a fair fight. And the Rockets, you know, making some of those ish plays that you're talking about that are borderline dirty. And Draymond went out of his way to say that he doesn't think they're doing anything dirty, but that the Warriors have to do more what it takes, change the mindset, be more physical, play like they played in games 1 and 2 where they were the more physical team. And the Rockets had a little bit of trouble matching it. I mean, that's what it boils down to in this series. But I thought they were strong comments, a confident Draymond Green, an optimistic Draymond Green, I think a little bit after the game. But I think that's as close to calling your own team soft without using that four-letter word as I think – we've seen period during this Warriors run. Draymond, he feels it's on him to ratchet up that intensity and bring everybody along with him. And I think he was trying to send a little bit of a message to the guys last night after the game.
Live from Houston, 95.7 The Game reporter John Dickinson with Joe Low and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Great stuff as always, JD. Safe travels. Look forward to having you back in the Bay.
You got it, guys.
All right, today's Take Your Pick poll question brought to you by FH Daily Chevrolet. It's on the website now at 957thegame.com. Will Warriors Rockets go 7 games? That is something we will discuss next, as well as what went wrong last night. There are two very glaring elements to the game that Houston is controlling, and that needs to be fixed by Wednesday night if the Warriors want to swing this thing back in their advantage. And a reminder, we have tickets to Game 5 to give away at 7:30 a.m. this morning. It's Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game.
The Warriors and the Rockets are all tied up.
It's game!
We're reacting to Game 4 all day today, including Warriors legend Rick Barry with Papa and Vontae at 2:30.
If the Warriors play their best game, the Warriors will win.
Only on 95.7. The Game. Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Phone lines are open for you, the beautiful people who listen to this fine program on a regular basis. It's Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. The number is 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Everything Warriors related is on the table. You want to cry? We're here for you. You want to talk a little junk? We're here for you. Pretty obvious one today. Had the under in Giants bet 162. That was over in about 4 minutes.
Oh, man.
Would have been 2 minutes, but there were apparently a bee invasion.
Yes.
In Cincinnati yesterday, which delayed the loss a little bit.
It's all right. You're coming back.
So lost significantly there. Then went into Bucks Celtics. I'm going to put a little on the under here. My numbers pointed to the under, and it hit. Hey, we got one. Then took those winnings, multiplied it by about six,
good
and took
God
the
almighty.
Warriors. And you know what? At least they got the win. I'll take that. If that's how you're going to lose a bet, I'll take that. I don't want to have a 31-point lead and donk it off like that. If I'm going down, I'm going down because the other team was better. That's what Houston was last night. They were better.
When... at what point in the game was it halftime losing by like seven or eight, by six, seven rather? Did you think, this is not looking good? When, you know, you kind of start.
Right.
When would you be like, eh?
A question you're not asking that I'll answer first is that I never officially mail it in on these guys, especially in the playoffs or a game that matters. There are games where like the Phoenix or Dallas game,
right.
It's like they don't want it tonight.
Right.
So I'll never officially mail it in. But pretty much right from the get-go, I was feeling a little dicey. My entire logic heading into this game was that they had bounced back against the Clippers in a loss to win by 27. They bounced back against the Clippers in another loss to win by 19.
Yep.
I believe both of those came on the road. I thought that there would be the Eric Gordon regression. There was. That was accurate. I thought Stephen Clay would shoot at a higher level. That wasn't necessarily accurate. And I thought they'd clean up the rebounding issues, which they did. They weren't better on the glass, but they weren't as awful. Plus, Durant and Harden essentially kind of washed each other out. The analysis... it flowed. Like, every way I handicapped that going in, I felt pretty good about it. But they just could not establish that foothold. Clay was so bad in that game. The bench was so awful that for the most part of that, for just about the entire duration of that game, I thought to myself, if it doesn't work out, I won't be surprised. Because Houston was playing that well. And the big thing that the Warriors, and there are several things that went wrong last night, the refs let them play. They let you know very early on they were going to let you play and they were going to let both sides play. I don't want to hear about the Livingston or Clay fouls on Harden. They jumped into his landing zone. It was clear as day. You're calling that every time. But they let him play physical. Houston realized this, and they got physical. They adjusted, and they kept mauling. The Warriors did what? Turn to the officials. Palms up. Steph Curry jumping up and down, not getting his calls. Just get back on D. Either realize what's happening and play that way, or fly around the court. But the complaining is not going to be heard last night. No complaining with the officiating.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Right.
I'm not going to come in today and say, Steph should have been getting the calls. Right. It's a physical game. They let it go last night.
Though they had an opportunity, Dibs, to tie it up right at the end, both your two superstars had
two times had
an opportunity to tie that up. When did you say, NASA, we had a problem? It went into part in the game. When was your
I would say on that sequence, because to Joe's point, even though all those things went their way except for Clay and Steph playing great, and Steph played really solid, and I think he made the adjustment that he wasn't getting open looks from the three-point line. He was at least trying to get to the hoop, and he shot much better on twos in the second half. It was Klay Thompson's absence, and when he missed two or three of those second-half threes that were wide open, that's where you got the feeling of straight uh-oh. But it wasn't until that final sequence when you had not one, but two times to tie the game, and you missed them both. That's when you thought, uh-oh, this one's going back to Oakland, and maybe it is coming back to Houston.
Mine was right before halftime. Even though they cut it to seven, it shouldn't have been. That Iguodala hits that three.
It's a nice three.
It was great. But you think about that, and you're down by 11. You look at that, and you're like, this team, it's too big of a deficit. When teams are kind of equal, you got to stay within 2 to 3. Because when you're down 10 or 11, it's hard when you're playing another good team to make that, to catch up, and then let alone go past that team. Especially when you're playing against a team that's just as competitive, that does a lot of the same things that you can do, live with the three, can have shooters, and it was hard. So at halftime, I was like, Iggy had a lucky three-point shot. I said, they're down, Dornier should be down. I said, man, I'm losing this one. I'm losing this one.
We also realized they led by three after the first quarter.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about being down by 11 near the end of the second, think about what that means. You're accurate. That means in a very short stretch of time, mm-hmm. they completely got worked over.
Yes.
Completely.
Right.
Because it's not like it was down five after one, and then they were getting beat in the second,
That's
and
right.
all of a sudden it's 11. You're up three after one. You're in decent shape. And then we turn it over to the bench. You know, you might as well be out there trying to grab rebounds.
Well, let's be fair about the bench as well, though, because the starters all played at least 7.5 minutes of that second quarter. KD played every minute of that second quarter, and he was a minus 10. So as much as the bench came in and provided no relief, not even Samardzija-level innings either, because I was thinking about that earlier when you were talking about what the bench needs to
Shut up. I don't want to hear about
Samardzija. Just be Samardzija. Give me five innings, baby.
Get out of here.
Just give me five. Eat some innings. You need this bench to basically, quote, eat innings, and they didn't do that. But it was more than just the bench last night. It was a collective failure in that second quarter.
Phone lines are open, 888-957-9570. Coming to you in just a second, but first, can I get a loud round of applause? A really loud one.
Yeah. And just tell me how to turn it off when you had it out.
Let it play.
Very nice. There's going to be a lot of negativity today, but we got to highlight the positive moments. Dibs, for about 2 months, we had the prop out there, over under 3.5 losses for the Warriors in the Western Conference playoffs. You started with the over. You stuck with the over the entire way. The Warriors have now lost four. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Sticking to your guns. That was a good prediction.
Thank you. We will keep the applause going for some strange reason. I don't feel great about it because I think that they're in real peril.
That's not how that works. You don't say that for 2 months, get the round of applause, and then come in and do the whole noble thing. Well, I'm right, but, you know, as a Warrior fan,
All right, let me try that again, Joe.
There's none of that.
Three, two, and one. I told you, fools. Lo, you had a chance, man. You were with me. Same church, same pew, and I probably was sitting on your lap, but for some reason, you wanted to sit elsewhere. You had your own choices. But whatever, that's your cross to bear. For me, when you know the association, as I do, Joe, when you've been around the association for as many decades as I have, you know a team like this coming off so many deep runs, eventually they're going to meet their match. And that's what we found.
Well, I think the biggest thing was me that, you know, as parent, that Boogie Cousins. Boogie Cousins, and you can say,
ifs and buts and candies and nuts.
You're right. We'd all have a Merry Christmas.
And happy 4th of July. It's coming up.
But you can say that this team.
You just going to skip over Memorial Day like that?
Yeah, and that's the barbecue day.
How dare you?
He eats kale.
Mother's Day, kale. Sunday, don't miss it.
Yeah, but
you're four shopping days, by the way.
All right, enough dancing around.
Thank you.
This is for Lo and I. We both had the under on the 3.5. You can go ahead and obviously do the under.
Dearly beloved, you know, you forget sometimes about the deep playoff runs and what it takes to make it through the arduous task. We all fall in love with 30-point motorboatings in the regular year, but ultimately, the West is deeper. The teams are closer, gentlemen, than ever before. So your under 3.5 losses take, finally, must
rest in peace.
Yeah, you got to catch the slap. I also came in talking about how it was the easiest bet of the year last night. I'm mass burial for me.
Earn slap.
Mass burial.
We're earn slapping
out here. Bay Rob, San Francisco. Bay Rob, thanks for the phone call and for your patience waiting on hold. We appreciate it. Floor is yours, dude. Fire away.
Hey, top of the morning, guys. My whole thing is with Klay Thompson. He the X Factor. Soft. Klay, get on the block. Gordon is these guys out here running you guys over, pushing you guys all around. You see Chris Paul ran over Iguodala. They don't care. They testing the limit to every way they can and see what they could get away with. We got to play the same way. We got to match the intensity. We out there soft. There's no excuse for Clay. If something wrong with Curry, and Curry out there hurt and he could still get 30, what's up with you, Clay? You could at least give us 20, 25. What's Clay's excuse? And Livingston also. Livingston out soft, up under the rim, miss that layup up under the rim? Come on now, they killing us. If they don't get it together, guess what? They go home.
Hey, Rob.
Bringing it.
Pretty much a baked potato in the oven in the South in the summer right there. He's hot. He's real hot right now, and for good reason. The Livingston thing, we addressed it this morning. We've stayed away from that all year. He's a friend of the program. We had him on a lot of times. So by and large, it's been, all right, well, you know, we're going to stay away. We don't need to be too critical. We like him. We're a little bit biased. I'll be completely honest. I'm biased. I have kept that note out for a while, but no more. Can't be done. Again last night, gets the ball. There's 2 feet between you and the rim. There's no defender in sight, and somehow you still get stuffed going up. It's happening over and over. He's getting beat defensively, too. He is a liability on the court. I told you this before. 4 games into this series, the grand total score is Warriors 448, Rockets 447. 4 games decided by 1 point. When Livingston is on the court, the Warriors have been outscored by 38 points. Minus 38 over 4 games. Now, that's not all his fault, but it highlights the problems this team is having with the bench. The Klay Thompson situation is where it gets very interesting, because Klay's one of those guys that when he's running hot, he gets a hell of a lot of credit. He gets a hell of a lot of praise. And he's also one of those guys that if he's not playing great, but the stars above him, KD or Steph, are struggling, he will fly under the radar. That's part of the blessing and the curse of being, you know, Klay Thompson. Today's not one of those days where you can just overlook it. He was dreadful last night. And he's got this look on his face when he misses a shot where he turns and he's running back down the court. And it's just that, oh, you know, I got to get it going. Like, you got to forget about it. You talked about this earlier. You got to be a killer at this time of year. Stop feeling bad. Get back on D and make a play. Make a play. There was a sequence last night where Draymond Green, I think he went up for a basket and got completely stuffed. Just completely stuffed at the rim. Turned and sprinted all the way down the court and made a play defensively. Knocked the ball out of whoever's hands, right. And then they had it going the other way. Like, that's what you need. You need to be flying around the court. Everyone's going to make mistakes. There is no time when you are on the court to feel sorry for yourself. There's none of that.
You're absolutely right. Joe, there was a fighter that I loved watching, and I missed him growing up because I really didn't watch him a lot. I watched older fights, and then I watched him, and then he came out of retirement, and he was going to fight Acorn Head, the you know, Larry Holmes, they call the Peanut Man.
Acorn Head?
Yeah, let it go. This is great.
And the Acorn Head was Ernie Shaver, but Muhammad Ali was going to fight Larry Holmes. And Larry Holmes was in his prime, and Larry Holmes back then, Muhammad Ali was at one of his fight, and he was shadow boxing, and I knew so much about Muhammad Ali, and he was my icon. Boom, he's shadow boxing Ali, and everyone thinks he's going to beat Larry Holmes. He gets in the ring. Larry Holmes is peppering him. Larry Holmes looking at the officials, looking at why he's coming out. And Muhammad keeps coming out and just getting worked. That was a fighter that knew who he was. We as fans love Muhammad Ali because he was the greatest. But he wasn't the greatest at that moment. And even when you look at a guy like Livingston, not comparing him to Muhammad Ali, but I'm comparing him to a lot of athletes like myself included, I can go look at certain blocks and look at a certain guy and say, man, that's my block. That's the guy I should be able to get. Mentally, I tell you, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go get this done. But physically, I'm unable to do it. Livingston is a smart guy, a student of the game. He's there for his leadership. He's there because in big moments, Livingston and Iguodala, guys that showed up. Now he looks like one of those prime fighters that is past their prime, that's still trying to punch but just cannot get it done.
You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning and welcome to your 7 o'clock hour of Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Greg Papa will join us at 8:30, Sean Salisbury at 9:35. But most of you are very interested in what happens 28 minutes from now at 7:30. We've got a pair of tickets to give away to Game 5 tomorrow night, Oracle Arena, tip time 7:30 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game. We're giving those away at 7:30, so lock in. Haven't figured out how we're going to do it yet. Maybe a little trivia contest. Maybe we'll reward one of the billions who's been riding with us from the beginning. Maybe we'll make mention of something that's happened on the show already today or will happen over the next 27 minutes. So lock in, 7:30, trivia question to win tickets to tomorrow night's game. like the analogy, and I think he would understand, Lo. The criticism has to come. All season long, I think everyone's been very patient and understanding. He's a fan favorite. He's a show favorite. He's an all-around good guy, and everyone loves the story. He's played a huge role for this team over the last 5 years, but it's not there anymore.
Right.
And you know what? That's okay, because that happens. But somebody else from the bench needs to step up. Jordan Bell, Chilton Auto Body text line 95795, saying something like, maybe Bell should get a few more minutes now. He can't even get seconds. You can't even give that dude seconds without him making a massive mistake. 7 seconds he was in the damn game last night. 7. Kerr decides at the end of the third to get the starters off the floor for the Houston inbounds because he doesn't want to risk a foul. Okay, I can understand the logic. But somehow Jordan Bell's out there. He's out there with the one task, just defend Harden. Now, this is a very difficult task. Harden is an elite player. But to completely lose sight of him, to get turned around to where it's an easy inbound to Harden, and then Harden takes 2 dribbles and gets a free layup for a bucket at the end of the game, in a game you end up losing by 4, is a major problem. We never saw him again the rest of the night. Guys played 7 seconds the whole damn series and immediately gets lost out there. You cannot trust him on the court.
No, and you can't have a worse plus minus per second possible unless he would have gotten a step back daddy and you would have fouled him. That's got to be among the worst PMPS, plus minus per second.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.